Thanks for joining us on Outdoors Radio. I'm Dan Small. Hey, this year, 2022, is the 150th anniversary of the founding of what is the world's first national park. And, of course, that's Yellowstone National Park, our first national park as well. It's one of America's most popular and most unusual parks, most iconic, lots of history, lots to offer visitors. And if you've never been there, man, I urge you to make this the year you spend some time exploring the trails, the hot springs, the geysers, the rivers, the lake, and we'll talk a little bit about the lake, and everything else Yellowstone has going for it. And joining us now to talk about Yellowstone, and specifically his new book, which is an historical novel set in Yellowstone National Park, is David Galloway. He's the author of Burning Ground, and his website is dagalloway.com. Well, David, welcome to Outdoors Radio, to our network, and thanks for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me, Dan.
Well, as I told you in our email exchange, I read Burning Ground over the weekend, something I rarely do anymore. I just couldn't put it down. It's an amazing book.
Well, thank you. I'm very gratified and humbled by the reader response. I'm always glad to hear the reader. There's a magic word to hear, right? I couldn't put it down. That's what every author would hope to hear.
Absolutely, yeah. And, you know, your attention to detail and your storytelling ability are just remarkable. And it just moves along. I guess it's what some people would call a page turn, but not just to get to the next page. I want to see, you know, what's going to happen next. And I can understand why it was named Best Multicultural Fiction Book of the year last year by the American Book Fest. And this is your first novel, right?
It is, Dan. It's my first foray into the fiction realm. Actually, 3 years ago, I published a nonfiction book, a business-related leadership, safety leadership book, and that was well-received. But this is indeed the first my first attempt at telling a fictional saga based on history.
And you're not a young man, so why did you wait so long?
Well, life gets in the way.
Yeah.
As we all know, I'll tell you the genesis of this, that the idea for this story, occurred, decades ago, Dan. When I was a young man in the late 70s, I was fortunate enough to be selected or I applied and I was able to, go to the park and work for a summer as a tour guide on Yellowstone Lake. Can you imagine such a summer job for a young man?
Fantastic, yeah. Most of us are flipping burgers or shoveling gravel in a potholes or something. But, yeah, so, and that's where it started for you.
It is. My love of the land came from a nexus of a couple of different things. One is that wonderful experience where I was able to learn a little bit about the history because as a tour guide. So what I did was I drove a 45-passenger tour boat. It was called the Lake Queen, on a one-hour tour around Stevenson Island, which is a large island there on the north of Yellowstone Lake. And I gave commentary about the history of not just the lake but the park itself on that tour, and then on my days off, I hitchhiked and did a lot of backcountry hiking throughout the whole park, and that was my summer. It was just fabulous.
Yeah, it sounds like it, and I'm sure it was. Now, so there's a little autobiography in this novel as well that goes beyond your connection with Yellowstone, right?
Yes, that's right, Dan. So the other point that coincided with kind of this germ of an idea that kind of was tucked in the back of my mind was I was, when I was, 16, I grew up in Pennsylvania, in rural Pennsylvania, south central Pennsylvania. And in that area of the country, there's a lot of fruit growing. And so I worked at an orchard in a fruit growing, orchard. And there were a lot of migrant workers who were there to take care of the orchard, to pick the fruit. And among the Hispanic and African-American migrants who were working there, there was also one Indian, a Crow Indian named Redfield. And he took me under his wing that summer, and I spent a lot of time working with him personally, and I found him to be soft-spoken but extremely wise, and he introduced me to a little bit of the Crow culture, and I was fascinated by that. And little did I know, many years later, that I would use that knowledge and that understanding and that introduction to the Crow Indian culture and meld it into my own Yellowstone experience, because the Crow Indians were one of the tribes that used to call Yellowstone part of their land.
That was home ground for them. In fact, they called it Burning Ground, didn't they, or the Burning Land or something?
Yeah. Yes, that's right. In fact, that's where the name for the novel came about, Burning Ground, because the Crow referred to Yellowstone as the Land of Burning Ground, an apropos title for, as anyone who has been there from a distance, it surely looks like the ground's on fire.
Yeah. Yeah, remarkable. Well, and Redfield is in the book, and the young protagonist, Graham Davidson, which is kind of a handy reversal of David Galloway. You know, I'm sure you thought about that, too.
Yes, it is.
He's in the book. So without giving the whole story away, can you recap the story for us? It starts in 1971, and it goes to 1871 pretty quickly.
Yes, it does. Actually, I set it up because, and the protagonist, I will tell you, I wrote, there's a lot of David A. Galloway in the protagonist, Graham, not surprisingly.
Mm-hmm.
The things that happened to him were many of the things that happened to me in those impressionable years. And I talk about the contemporary, i.e. 70s, when I was there in the park and what it looked and felt and like there. But then I used what I'd learned from Redfield, the Crow Indian. The Crow, many of the warriors, the young men, really wanted to launch themselves into manhood. They would go on a vision quest,
mm-hmm.
and the vision quest where they would actually fast for 3 or 4 days and go to a remote location and seek guidance for their lives. I used that notion of a vision quest to place my protagonist at a sacred site in Yellowstone, and there are a couple of those true sacred sites to the Kiowa, to the Crow, and other Indians. It's a place called Dragon's Mouth.
Mm-hmm.
He goes to that location, has a spiritual experience, and that is the mechanism by which I have him transported back in time 100 years to 1871.
Yeah, and then 1871, of course, was one of the years when the early exploration of the park took place, leading up to the actual recognition of Yellowstone as our first national park, which Congress did a year later. So what happens in the 1871 part of the book then?
Well, 1871, I chose 1871 because it was a seminal event for the park, in the park's history.
Mm-hmm.
As you introduced your segment today, Dan, correctly, this is the sesquicentennial of the founding of the park in 1872. This is 150 years later. Well, in the year prior to that, in 1871, there was a Congress-funded scientific expedition led by a geologist by the name of Ferdinand van de Veer Hayden, H-A-Y-D-E-N, and he led a group of about 40 scientists and explorers and photographers and painters and ornithologists and zoologists and all kinds of a scientific expedition to explore this heretofore region that had only been described by fur trappers and traders and mountaineers, but not very well known by the Europeans, by white men, only by the Native Americans.
Mm-hmm.
He led an expedition 38 days through that park and really came back with the first concrete evidence and of samples and paintings and photographs that the Congress, you can imagine, seeing this, said, we have to set this land aside. It is so extraordinary. That's what precipitated Ulysses S. Grant as president, signing into law on March 1st of 1872, the first national park in the world.
Yeah.
The protagonist, Graham Davidson, is with the Hayden Expedition as they go through the park.
Right, right. David, we've got to take a break here. This is fascinating, but will you bear with us and we'll continue the conversation?
Absolutely. I'd love to.
Folks, I'm talking with David Galloway. He's the author of Burning Ground. We'll have more of this conversation after this. I'm Dan Small. You are listening to Outdoors Radio.
Listen to more Outdoors Radio online at dansmalloutdoors.com. Welcome back to your source for the latest hunting and fishing information, Outdoors Radio with Dan Small.
Welcome back to Outdoors Radio. I'm Dan Small. Well, folks, I'm talking with David Galloway. He's the author of a novel, Burning Ground, that is set in two centuries, if you can believe it. 1971 is where it starts, and then time travel back 100 years to 1871 to just before when Yellowstone National Park was named a national park the following year in 1872. And we've been talking about his protagonist, a young man named Graham Davidson, who, through a mechanism we're not going to tell you about because you got to read the story and find out how it happened, he wakes up in 1871 and he's in the middle of this Hayden expedition exploring what will become, a year later, Yellowstone National Park. And David, you've got real characters in there. I mean, real people. Your Graham Davidson is fictional, but Hayden is real, and Lieutenant Doan and a bunch of other people are real. How did you blend that fictional story with a historic fact?
Yes, in fact, that's the thing that one of the things I'm most proud about in terms of how I constructed the story, Dan, is that my goal here was to I wanted to make history interesting. You know, I don't know about you, but there, sometimes when we learn history, it can seem dry. It seems factual. It seems dates and places and times. But I wanted the history to come alive, especially for a place that I love like Yellowstone. And one of the ways that I think we could do that is I think we can be true to the history of the events and the people of the time, yet put it in a story format. So I did, I will tell you, I spent as much time researching as I did writing the novel. I really wanted Graham to be there. And so everything in 1871, almost exclusively, is reflected in real historical events and people. In fact, the dates, the times, the people, the ages, everything there was as near as I could recreate it historically from actual diaries of the Hayden Expedition members. And I just simply placed my protagonist among those folks and imagined how they would interact.
Yeah, and it's seamless. I mean, it's amazing how... fortunately, they all speak English, and you don't really address the question of dialect, although there are some dialects in there, some southern soldiers who have different accents, but, you know, you don't address the question of this guy from the 20th century, and now he's in the middle of the 19th, and they don't pick up that there's something strange about the way he talks. They thought he was strange in a number of ways. He had a wristwatch and a few other things that he gradually revealed over the weeks that he was there. But you pulled it off, I guess, is the way to put it. You got away with it, with putting.
Well, thank you.
Putting
thank
him
you.
In.
That was very important to me. And I introduced. I really loved the fact that he interacted with people like Thomas Moran. For those of you who don't know Thomas Moran, he. He is the famous painter that was with the Hayden Expedition. Many of the paintings that first paintings that came out of Yellowstone were his creation.
Mm-hmm.
And William Henry Jackson produced the first black and white photographs of those geysers and thermal features. He later became well known as a photographer. It was a joy imagining interacting with men like that, and as well as some nefarious characters like Lieutenant Doane, who had a very dark past.
Yeah, for sure. Now, there's a love interest in this story. No good novel is complete without one, and it's a young Crow Indian woman he falls in love with. And again, we're not going to give too much away, but was she based on anyone in particular, or did you just think, you know, I need an attractive young Indian gal here?
The latter, Dan. Mm-hmm. Obviously, why wouldn't Graham be deprived of having the opportunity to fall in love with a beautiful Crow Indian woman?
Yeah, exactly.
Now, so she was fictional. However, the authentic part of it was for those history buffs, the Crow were allied with the U.S. government. Unlike most of the tribes in the region at that time, the Crow were aligned with and often served as scouts for the cavalry. So it was not unheard of to have Crow scouts. As a matter of fact, years later, the Crow were recruited as scouts along with the Arikara at the Battle of Little Bighorn.
Yes.
So they were, it was very realistic to imagine there were some Crow guides among the Hayden group.
Yes. And again, we're not going to give this story away, but I think we can say this much. He does come home. I'll say that anyway at the end, and we won't tell you how that happens. But I understand there's a sequel in the works.
There is. Upon finishing this, my initial intentions were it was a standalone novel. My readers nudged me otherwise, and so now I in fact am halfway through writing the sequel. It's titled Fatal Ground, and it takes place in the years 1872 through 1876.
Mm-hmm.
In Montana and Yellowstone. Graham, in fact, of course, love does strange things and pulls you in a lot of directions, pulls him back through time. He cannot simply leave Makawee where he left her, and so their adventures continue in Fatal Ground.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, where can people get a copy of Burning Ground?
Well, it is available exclusively on Amazon. It's available in paperback, hardcover, and as an ebook, and it's also an audiobook for those who consume their books through listening. I have a wonderful narrator that I hired. He is the voice of Graham and others in the book, and so it's also available as an audiobook on Audible.
Okay, and we talked about this before recording, this has movie written all over it. Have you thought about the movie rights, optioning them to someone?
I have, and someone has approached me on the West Coast that is a producer, but I'm realistic. I mean, that rarely happens, but we'll see where that goes.
Yeah, or maybe a series. I mean, you know, you've got a you told me again off air that you're thinking of a trilogy, so it could
That's
be.
That's right. I mean, there will be a third book. I've committed to at least three books in the Frontier Time Traveler series, all taking place in the Yellowstone region between 1871 and 1877.
Okay, and I'm sure some of our listeners remember Lonesome Dove. That was a mini series that I still got a VHS copy of it and watch it every once in a while. It's a great story, David. We could go on and on, but I just can't. So I want to thank you so much for writing this wonderful book and for sharing some snippets from it with our listeners. And I hope a lot of folks get a copy and go to Yellowstone this summer and visit the park if they've never done that. And we will get a copy of Fatal Ground when that book is out. I'm sure I'm going to find that interesting as well. So thanks so much for talking with us.
Dan, thanks for having me today.
You bet. David Galloway is the author of Burning Ground,